Our epistle lesson this morning is from Romans 3, verses 19 to 28. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped, and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time, so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Then what becomes of our boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law? By a law of works? No, but by the law of faith. For we hold that one is justified by faith, apart from works of the law. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please rise.
The good news, according to St. John. As you listen to this morning's gospel, pay attention to words that you might easily overlook. Who is talking to? And what is their relationship to him at the beginning of the reading? So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the gift of the Reformation, for the rediscovery of your heart toward people. And Lord, we pray this day that we would each hear your word of love and affirmation for us. Open our hearts to receive that gift. But Lord, us is a lot bigger than me. And we ask today that you would help us to discern the deep love that you have for the people of this world and the world that you made. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. So it was about 38 years ago that right about this time, Cindy and I were about 5 weeks away of being parents for the first time. And I'll tell you what, if you've had that experience, you know what I'm talking about. It's a time of anticipation. It's a time where you really want to put your best foot forward and you want to invest in being a good parent. And you know, 38 years ago, nobody knew the word Google. And so in order to get ready, it took a little bit more work than just pulling out your phone and typing in a question. You had to kind of gather information. And Cindy had been going to an OBGYN for a number of months by that point. And she always came back with this little magazine called Baby Talk. And she compiled these little magazines with all the articles so that we had a folder, a binder full of information about what it took to be a parent, Some of it was medical, some of it was behavioral, some of it was psychological, and it was all intended to help us do the best job that we could do as parents. It was great, but nothing compared to what happened on December 6th, 1983, at about 10:25 at night, because that's when our son Timothy was born. In those days, we called him Timothy. And that night was just a special night because Cindy wasn't feeling too good. She had an emergency C-section, and so they gave her something to help her sleep. And I'm in the recovery room sitting right next to her gurney with this baby in my arms. And we stared at each other for over an hour. And it was the most amazing experience. Because, you know, all of that information that we had gathered and all the ways that we had trained ourselves to be prepared for being a parent just paled in comparison with the overwhelming sense of love that I had that night for that little boy. It was an incredible thing. And it was just overwhelming. And that's the spirit that we need to remember on this 104th, I think it is, right? Reformation Day, or 504th Reformation Day. Because what the world rediscovered that day was the deep love that God has for people. That's really what it was about for Martin Luther. He had struggled with his connection to God. He had struggled with what does it mean to be a child of God. And what the Lord gave to him over the course of time, it wasn't just on that day like a lightning bolt, but it was over the course of time as he studied God's word, it was a deep sense for how precious he is to God. God's not just looking for a reason for him to put one toe out of place so that he can slam him with punishment. That's what he felt up until that point. But what he came to learn and appreciate was just how much God loves him. And as you read some of his writings, especially as he talks about being a father himself sometime later, you see the tenderness that he came to appreciate, the tenderness that God has for him. Now, when we approach Reformation, we tend to want to get wrapped up inside of our heads about this. We think about words like concupiscence. Have you ever heard that word before? Concupiscence is basically means our tendency towards sin. It's kind of like original sin. And when all things being equal, broken human beings tend towards sin. And we think about concepts like justification and righteousness and sanctification. And all of those are really important things. But they're kind of like the binder that we had in getting ready for Timothy to arrive. They're abstractions, they're ideas that are important and they matter, but it's not the whole deal. The real deal is just how much God loves you. But not just you. Because God has that love for all people, for God so loved, yeah, the world, and all the people in it. Just last Friday, a week ago Friday, Cindy and I had the opportunity to sit down and have coffee with a good friend, somebody that I taught with and was a part of ministry with at Concordia. Bill, you remember Bob Schmidt? Bob was here in town. He was the dean of chapel and taught in the theology department for a number of years, and he was back in town, and he just wanted to have coffee. So I said, Bob, you got three choices. We can meet at your hotel, we can meet at the district office, or we can go to this coffee shop I've never been to on Alberta. Guess which one Bob picked? The coffee shop, right. And if you've ever been to Alberta, northeast Alberta in Portland, it's kind of like the epitome of what's funky about Portland. There's just all kinds of different characters and people there. And it was certainly true of this coffee shop that we went to. The reason I'm telling you this story is that as I'm ordering our coffee from a person who's very different from me, I heard a question in my head. And that question was, could this person become dear to you? Somebody very different from me. Somebody whom I probably had very little ability to relate to. And the question that came into my head was, could this person become dear to you? And the reason that I'm bringing that up today is that I think it's a question that we need to ask ourselves as we meet the variety of people that are present in our world today. And frankly, the city of Portland is one of the places where this could be a really great laboratory. Because we've got people from all over the map, right? You go out and about and you're mixing with the crowd and you're mixing with people and you wonder, I wonder, could these people become important to me, even though we have very little in common? And on this Reformation Day, I'm putting that before you because they are dear to God. All people are dear to God. That's what Martin Luther really got about from reading God's word, is it's really the message of the scriptures, isn't it? That human beings matter to God so much that he's willing to give up everything so that we can have a relationship with him, so that we can take the brokenness about who we are and have it be mended and be in a healthy, positive, loving relationship with our Creator and with each other. That's the reason Jesus comes into the world, so that that brokenness that was so present can be made whole again. But we both know that it's not easy to love everybody, is it? There are things that come between us as people that sometimes make it really hard to love one another, that make it really hard to sacrifice for one another. Sometimes that's with people that we're close to, that we live with. But a lot of times, it's with people that we don't know. It's with people who are different than we are. And we have to be very careful on this Reformation Day that we do not attach extras that God does not attach about his desire to be connected to people. And we see that manifest in the life of the Apostle Paul. Paul's big question as he moved from being a persecutor of the church to an advocate for the gospel was, what do we do about that separation between Jews and Gentiles? What do we do about that? It's hidden in the gospel reading for today. Who were the Jews that were talking to Jesus that day? Did you catch that? They were the ones who believed in him. They believed in Jesus. That's what John tells us. And still, they're kind of getting into this argument with Jesus, aren't they? About, why are you talking to us this way? We've never been enslaved to everyone. We're Jewish. We're the chosen people. We've got a spot in the heart of God. And that's what Paul grew up with, this separation between Jews and Gentiles. And for Paul, that meant Jews were in, Gentiles were out. Or at least if they were going to come in, they would come in as second-class people, proselytes. And honestly, the Old Testament talks about this. In fact, it was God's vision that his people, the Jews, would not be totally separate from the world, but that they would be priests to the world. That they would be his voice to the world. That was a part of God's plan. But somehow over the centuries, it became an exclusivity piece. And Paul wrestled with that. In the New Testament reading from Romans today, what precedes, right before the reading that you heard, is Paul talking about what's the difference between Jews and Gentiles. And what's his conclusion? There is no difference. There is no difference. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace. In another place, Paul writes it this way. This is from Ephesians chapter 3. For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus on behalf of you Gentiles, assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you, how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I have written briefly. When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, and it, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Do you want to know what the mystery is? Are you curious? I think, you know, you hear the word mystery, you want to know what it is. And Paul says, this mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. That might not sound like news to you, but it was news to Paul. It changed everything for Paul. So much so that it's a part of his letters over and over and over again. He wrestled with that question. He had been raised to believe a certain distinction was present and true. And what God revealed to him was that that distinction is not real. For there is no distinction. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by his grace. So what do we do with that? Does that mean if God loves everybody in that intimate, loving, and caring way, does that mean that his law doesn't matter? Absolutely not. But as the title of the message is printed, as it's printed for you in the bulletin, suggests, we've got to keep first things first. That what comes first is God's gracious love for people, period. And then what follows that is the question, now what difference does this make for me? What difference does it make for you? What difference does it make in the choices that you make about how you're going to live or how you're going to respond to the choices that other people in your life make? That's a secondary question. But you know what's true for us is that we like exclusivity, don't we? We want to be picked and chosen. We want to be better. Because that's a part of the concupiscence that lives within us. We like to set up a hierarchy. We like to say that some are better than others, and that I'm kind of in the better category because of who I am and because of my essence. But Paul says there is no difference. There's no distinction. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And it's our call to love people the way that we've been loved. There's a Christian song that I have on my in my music folder, and it's written by a guy that I've really come to appreciate. But there's a line in that song, in this one song, that just sticks with me. He's talking about his life and his relationship to God, and part of his experience was being a parent like mine. And he wrote this line: "I never knew that God and I could share a tender father's heart." I love that line, because I want to have my father's tender heart, and not just toward my children, but toward his people. That's what it means to be a part of the Reformation, a part of the Lutheran Church, is that God's heart becomes heart. That when we meet people that are outside perhaps of our comfort zone, our normal place, and we ask ourselves the question, could this person become dear to me? The answer needs to be yes. Yes, they can. Because God loves them that way. And I'm his child. We can share a tender father's heart for the people around us. And a part of that means that we tell them the truth in the way that we relate to each other, in the way that we talk to each other, in the way that we live together. But first things first, it's not about getting your act together and then you can become a part of things. It's that God has embraced you, and now he wants you to see what that means for your life. First things first. That's what we celebrate on this great day. That's why I see so much red out there. Red's the color of celebration in the church. And it's our way of saying, thank you, God, for the way that you love me. Thank you for the way that you love this world. And now, as his people, as his family, let's take that love into our relationships out there with all the people that God has in store for us to make a difference with. He will make it happen. The Holy Spirit will work in the lives of people to lead them to a place where the Lord really wants them to be and to live. That's his business. And he might use you to speak that word into somebody's life. But like the Apostle Peter says, in your heart set apart Christ as Lord. Always be ready to give a reason for the hope that you have, but do so with gentleness and respect. That's the calling that we have as the people of God. Do you know the difference between you and me and we? Have you ever thought about that? There's a big difference between the concept of you and me and we. Because with you and me, there's like a separation. I've got me, you've got you, we're kind of separate. We might be together with the and, but there's still a separation. But when it's we, we're together. When it's we're together. And the idea that God has for us today, the way that he sees it, is that all of us are a we. It's we as we live in this world. It's we as we encounter people out there in our lives. It's we as we bump into people in our neighborhoods, in our workplaces, in the stores, in the community. It's we. And God wants that we to be our heart, so that the love that we have in Christ, the blessing of his sacrifice, the gift of imputed righteousness, the gift of justification by grace through faith, the gift of sanctification and a renewed life in Christ, those are all a part of this deep and lasting relationship that God has with us. That when he holds us and looks into our eyes, he's filled and overwhelmed by the love he has for his people. Let's take that love into all of our relationships too, and see the people around us with the eyes of Christ. Would you pray with me, please? Loving Father, we are just overwhelmed by the fact that you love us the way that you do. It's an amazing gift. And Lord, what we pray for today is your vision, that we might see the people in our life with that amazing gift too, even if it's clear that they don't deserve it. It also needs to be clear that neither do we. Lord, help us to discern what it means to be us in this world. Help us discern what it means to reflect the blessing of your love to the people that we meet. And Lord, help those strangers to become dear to us as they are to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.